each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. We've just blown right into the studio.
It's windy.
Windy. Welcome, TGAIF, right?
Almost Friday.
Thank God it's almost Friday. TGIAF. IAF. IAF. And then we're just going to be, we're going to blow right into the Holy Week.
That's
well,
right.
Well, no, not this week,
that
but
is,
it's
no,
the week
it's
after.
Already coming.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Already.
It happens every year. You know, you think you've got all this time, and you kind of, like a snail, we're moving through Lent, and then all of a sudden,
boom.
It's here. It's here. Almost here. So, which is a good thing. It's just it means all of a sudden
getting there is just it's a challenge.
It's a challenge because we're as when you're in the church, and I guess we speak about this every time we're in these seasonal transitions. But you have to. You're meeting deadlines.
Yes.
You're meeting deadlines. Always living in the future, mm-hmm. right? Always. In fact, it happened again. You know, this happens all the time. For some reason, I was somewhere, and I thought, you know, I haven't even seen any Valentine decorations this year.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I said, Valentine's is right around the corner. I haven't seen any Valentine decorations.
No.
And then, oh, it's gone. It's passed.
Yes.
That was a month ago.
You missed them because they were putting them up before New Year's.
Before New Year's, perhaps. Yeah. Isn't that funny how that happens?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just amazing.
Now it's all St. Patrick's.
St. Patrick's.
The green.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any of that, but that's out there. I'm assuming
there,
that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gosh, that's next week, isn't
yes.
it? Sure
yeah,
is.
Yes,
that's a week
is.
From today.
Yes.
Yeah. A week from today.
Yes,
because
yes,
on the 16th, we have the film.
Exactly.
By the way, everybody, please, I really encourage you to come to this this documentary because it'll be a religious experience, mm-hmm. This documentary. It's a movie documentary on the original image of the Divine Mercy, which is what we have adorning. It's in our church, and we have it over the – it's overlooking the expressway. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm looking at it right here. We've got it – gosh, it's all over the place.
Yes.
The image is right here. I'm looking right at it.
He's everywhere.
He's looking over Jerry.
Yes.
You know, behind
I
you.
I hate overlooking, yes.
You do. And we all do. And in the church and then
the church.
On the tripod or triptych or whatever.
In it's, the
what do you call it?
He's
out
in my office, too.
In your office.
Mm-hmm. He's watching.
But we've got the, but here we, no, you've got the original. You've
yes,
got
I
the
do.
Original.
Yes,
that's
I
right.
Do, yeah.
So it's the original. There's mm-hmm. different images of the Divine mm-hmm. Mercy, but this is the original. And so they're going to, the bishop from Vilnius is coming. He'll be on the radio next week, by the way,
wow.
On Wednesday, and which is the day of the viewing of it's a premiere, mm-hmm. Premiere viewing of the film here in Chicago. So I think it's about a 60-minute documentary, and then he's going to speak about it afterwards. And I say he's from Vilnius. But he speaks perfect English. I think he was raised in the United States.
From here, yes.
Yeah, because
mm-hmm.
he's when I heard he was coming, he was going to speak. I thought, you know, well, there's a lot many foreigners, if you
sure.
want to say foreigners,
mm-hmm.
Speak English. But then I heard him speak on the trailer. I saw the parts of the movie mm-hmm. and documentary, and I saw this.
You can understand him.
He's a. It's like he's from. The United
yes,
States,
sir.
And he might be, you know, maybe, I don't know. I
it
don't know.
Sounded
I'll
like
find out.
The person that called to arrange, she said he's originally from here.
He's originally from the United States.
United
it's interesting,
States, yes.
And yet he's the bishop in Vilnius, mm-hmm. which is where the original image of the Divine mm-hmm. Mercy is. So they're going to tell the whole story. Father excuse me, Bishop Barron, Bishop Robert Barron, is on the documentary. George Weigel. There's just all kinds of rather well-known Catholics throughout the world that are on this documentary. Bishops from other parts of the world, from Austria, and excuse me. So it'll be. I'm looking forward to it. Yes. I say it's going to be. It'll be a religious experience. I'm excited about it because I really, because this is, they're going to give us really some insight into the image that perhaps isn't in the diary. In fact, some of it's not because they've even got. I'm trying to think, there was a man who either knew, somehow he knew of Father. I don't know if you knew Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska. But he's got, certainly he knew Father Sapochka, I think it's Father Sapochka, is that his name? Sapochka. Anyway, it'll be interesting. So that's next Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
In the church.
In the church, yeah. We're planning to have normally we have Mass at 7. We're going to plan to have the Mass at 5:30. We might have, depending on the setup, because we're still working this, all the logistics out, we might not have the evening Mass for this reason. We have the Mass in the morning nonetheless.
Sure.
But we'll... we'll keep people posted on that. Sure. But the event begins at 7 o'clock in the church. I think very appropriate, appropriately in the church. I'm really, really excited about that. And then as a nice prelude into Holy Week, we have the concert, Joseph Haydn, the seven...
Last words.
All right, Armin, what is it?
It's Haydn. Joseph Haydn.
Haydn. Okay, Haydn. Joseph Haydn, 19th century.
Yeah, that is richtig.
Thank you very much. So he's not going to be here, but...
No, he's gone. He's long gone.
He's long gone. Well, he's not long gone. He's just passed on, you know, a long time ago. But it's his composition. It'll be a quartet. The cello. I love the cello,
the
violin.
Cello.
What else are they going to have? The... Four different instruments.
Four different, I don't know.
No drums.
It's the Chicago Sinfonietta.
There you go. Okay. Is that what they call it?
Yes.
Okay. I should be listening to the promos. Is it on the promo?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
Is the Pope Catholic?
Yes. Yeah, right. I don't know. I sometimes wonder.
You know?
It's good. That's a good question, Armin, you know? Anyway, is the Pope Catholic? So he says. Sure he is. I mean, sure, he is, really.
Yeah.
He is. I'm not saying sure he's like, you know, like he's not, but you know, for sure he is. For sure he is. He is a Catholic.
For sure
he is. But anyway, so that's going to be, the concert will be...
On Saturday.
On Saturday the 19th, which is the Feast of St. Joseph, but it's also the beginning of Holy Week, so it'll be right after the first Vigil Mass for Palm Sunday, for the beginning of Holy Week. So we have the Mass at 5 o'clock, and then... the concert
at
7 o'clock. And it won't be a choral. It'll be instrumental, but we'll have breaks where we speak.
Oh, there's an interaction there.
The seven last words of Christ. So I'm really looking forward to that as well. So those are two events that are coming up. And, of course, the whole Triduum. You know, it's just, if you haven't experienced the Triduum, I encourage you to do so because it... In a very succinct way, it puts everything into perspective. It explains the whole, the three high holy days, the Triduum. It really enfleshes the why of our faith and the durability, why we've endured, you know, 2,000 years from the time of Christ. So it's this Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, absolutely beautiful. It's a beautiful, and then the follow on that. Then of course Easter Sunday is, it all culminates. Well, I shouldn't say it culminates in Holy Saturday, and then there's the Easter Sunday, or the day of the resurrection, the masses, and then on the octave, the eighth day of Easter, is the Divine Mercy Sunday, and there too we're going to have quite a bit going on here because there'll be an all night vigil. And so I encourage, you know, the doors are always open 24/7, but, you know, that you might come and join us, you know, for a little bit of time, you know, maybe a half hour, an hour, maybe 2 hours, maybe stay all night, spend the night in the church, you know. We used to do that.
Yes.
Really used to do that. Yeah. And
is that the anniversary, Father, of Pope
yes,
John
it
Paul
is.
II,
it
right?
is. For, it, yes, it is. That was mm-hmm. the night that he died. It's actually yes. the falls on the because he died on the vigil, of mm-hmm. the divine. And it's a floating mm-hmm. Feast because Easter is a floating
sure.
feast. So, but it happens to fall on the anniversary of his
mm-hmm.
death.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be. And in fact, there's Holy Trinity just down the street. There will be a procession from Holy Trinity at, I think it. Do you know what time? I think maybe 10:30 or 11 o'clock. Maybe 11 o'clock, but they're going to have a procession from Holy Trinity all to St. Stan's. So there's going to be different, there'll be different language groups praying through the night, an English group, and then there'll be a Spanish, and then there'll be Polish, then there's a Filipino group. I don't know if they're going to be praying in Tagalog or if it'll be in English, but, and then of course it'll, there'll be some silence and, mm-hmm. and interspersed, you know, so all this. And then, of course, we have the regular masses on Sunday, and then the Divine Mercy Sunday will culminate with the, as we have here on an annual basis, the Rosary at 2:30,
mm-hmm.
Mass at 3 o'clock, and this year, boy, this will be the first year I'm not going to be the celebrant here at St. Stan's, because we started, gosh, way back when, a long time ago, before it was even promulgated, the Sunday of the Divine Mercy, but Father James Kubicki, who is the national director of the national director of the Apostleship of Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
He will be the celebrant, and he's going to speak about what should be very interesting: encountering the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Divine Mercy in the year of mercy. So that'll be mm-hmm. interesting, and then the whole liturgy will end with the chaplet of the Divine Mercy, and there will be confessions also during that time as well. So
yes.
these are just a lot of things happening mm-hmm. coming up. So we're just, next week we'll begin to, but I tell you, please come and tell others to come, because I think, you know, I think you'll be inspired. I think, mm-hmm. you know, when people look at the image of the Divine Mercy, I don't know if they realize, I mean, there's grace at it's a sacramental, so there's mm-hmm. grace that comes by, at the promise of our Lord. And I know people who have been deeply moved and converted just upon seeing the image. That's why it's so significant that it's right here overlooking the Kennedy Expressway. We don't know, you know, who might be, what kind of conversion or healing mm-hmm. might happen just, you know, looking upon that image. But we've had certain people who have come and they've been, in a sense, magnetically pulled off the expressway into the church based on that image. That mm-hmm. image has drawn them. It's like a magnetic,
mm-hmm.
A magnet that brings them into through the doors of the church. You know, I was trying to explain that to the second graders yesterday. You know, they're preparing for the first Holy Communion, and so now it's interesting. I have to say, they were so excited.
Yeah, they sounded excited.
Did you hear it? Yes,
you heard them.
Well, I tell you, what a contrast. Because a couple of weeks ago, I was bragging about how good they were at confession. But they came with their parents, and they had confession, and it was in the church. And, you know, they would come up, face-to-face. Their first confession is face-to-face. Before Easter, next week, they're going to go to confession again. And then after Easter, they'll receive their first Holy Communion. So when they came for confession, and you figure this, you know, there's about 21 students and second graders. They came with their parents and their grandparents, whoever they wanted to bring. Sometimes their brothers and sisters, but they brought, you know, they introduced me to their mm-hmm. family one at a time. The family would bring them up for the confession, and I would take them into the sanctuary, and we'd have so the people can see that they're going to confession. Well, you know, you could hear a pin drop for that lasted about an hour and a half.
They must have been nervous
with
too.
All those. they were
so quiet.
They were good. I mean, very quiet, and it was just beautiful. So mm-hmm. last night, you know, they had their little retreats, little second grade mini retreat. You know, so they start by coming to the church at 5:30, and I have a half hour with them. Goes into usually 45 minutes, and then after that they go to the school and they do a skit. They're performing a skit, and they're doing some other stuff. I don't know, because I'm having mass here, so I don't mm-hmm. I'm not with them. So I expected that same kind of silence, you know, that same kind of silence. And they, I don't know, but last night they were so excited.
Yes.
And I think part of it was I brought them into the sanctuary because I wanted them to get, really come close to the ambo and to the altar and to the sedilia, the chair, you know, and let them and talk about the, you know, why, what all this means, and let them see the Roman missal, the altar cloth, you know, why the altar cloth. And then I took them from there. I said, then we're going to go into the sacristy, and I'm going to show you. And the parents come up too, you know. So it's you're really, in some ways, you're speaking to the children, to the parents. And so we went into the sacristy and had the vestments there, you know, all the different colors, to explain what the colors mean and all that. And I kept trying to explain to them, you know, this is, you know, when we come into sacred space, it's God's house. It's not, you know, we're not, it's not being at the park or in the, you know, why we genuflect, why we make the sign of the cross with the holy water. And when we come through the door, we genuflect at the name of Jesus, all knees will bend. We're not here to be entertained. You know, I kept telling them, you know, we're here in gratitude, and we're here to support each other, to pray for the world and to offer our lives. We're here to worship God. And so it's not, and there's no entertaining that comes. You know, we're not here to be entertained. And so I don't think they really caught it. They didn't catch it.
No, they didn't.
So we were in the sacristy, and I'm explaining the, because I kept saying to them, you know, I'm not an entertainer, you know. I'm not an entertainer. And by the way, I have to tell you what one of the children said. Don't let me forget. But so I'm showing them the vestments, and they said, you know, this color is for this, the penitential color, the purple, the red for the martyrs and for the Holy Spirit, and why, and the white and the gold. Of course, they're going to ask questions, you know, before they want to anticipate, right? And the green, you know, for hope. What does that mean? Well, you know, the sun will come out tomorrow. And so I said, you know, the sun will, you know, I sang it, and everybody, they all knew. I said, well, I guess, you know, we are a little bit of an entertainer here, you know. So, but then I took him in. I said, I'm going to show you my two offices. I have two offices. So, and everything is so connected, everything is so close. So brought him into the rectory. And of course, when you open that door, people don't realize. It's like going into the Wizard of Oz, into that, you know, this is people really don't realize that there's this big rectory right behind the church, because they just come in from the noble street size, and they don't right directly behind the church. Attached to the church is this huge rectory, and when you open the door, it's especially for second graders, because they're munchkins, you know, so they're looking, it's just like this long corridor, and it's like, wow, what is this? You know, where are we at now? And says, I'm going to take you to my my two offices. So I took him to my first office, where I do my work, you know, an office. It's a regular office. And, of course, they were wild, weren't they, Christina?
I heard them. I said, oh, God, you know, I'm not meant to be a parent, because they were.
Well, not that many children, you know. So.
No, but still, we were loud.
Wow.
And I had the door closed.
Right, yeah. So then I said, well, now I'm going to take you to the second office, which happens to be the chapel. And so we went into the chapel, and even there, it's like they had eaten cake, you know, lots of cake and candy. Yeah. They were so wired.
It's like the Energizer Bunny.
But they were excited about the skit that they were going to do. You know, that's what they kept saying. It was almost as if, you know, Father, you know, this is enough now. We want to do our skit.
We want to get going there.
So anyway, but it was nice. But what a contrast. Yes, what a contrast. Yes. Anyway, we'll take a break. What was I going to say? Oh, I got to say, when we come back, I'll tell you about the little, and then we got, then it got something so moving. I was reading this morning. We were speaking last week about Corrie Ten Boom.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I happened to come across this morning something she said about forgiveness, and it was very, very moving. I got a couple of things I want to share with you. So anyway, so we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change invites you to join us in saying the Our Lady of the Shrine Ark of Mercy prayer, which you can find on our website at ststandschurch.org, and click on the Adorations tab to Iconic Monstrance. We are saying this prayer for Father Anthony's healing from cancer, but that God's will be done. Our Lady of the Sign, the Ark of Mercy, rush to the aid of your children. Awaken Christendom from slumber. Render the people of God wholly possessed by Jesus, the divine mercy. Guide us to seek sanctuary in the Ark of your Immaculate Heart, alive and at one with the Most Holy Trinity, and draw down upon your children a new Pentecost to renew the face of the earth.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
As a married couple, how would you like to give each other the gift of love itself? Then this is for you.
Hello, I'm Father Thomas J. Loya, and I am inviting husbands and wives to join me and the team at the Tabor Life Institute at St. Basil's Parish in Sterling Heights, Michigan on Saturday, April 30th for Embracing the Mystery, a day of recollection for married couples. Our presentation weds together the sacramental liturgical worldview of Byzantine spirituality and St. John Paul II's theology of the body to rediscover the why of marriage so as to know the how of a happy sacramental marriage. We will also integrate what goes on in church with what should go on in our homes. For information and to register, visit taborlife.org. That's taborlife.org. Or call 708-645-0762. 708-645-0762 for Embracing the Mystery, a day of recollection for married couples.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us, TGIAF. Mm-hmm. Thank God it's almost Friday. And so anyway, I wanted to tell you a little bit about this. So I was talking to a parent the other day, and her daughter goes to our school in second grade, second grader. Mm-hmm. And she said, when you were gone, I was gone in January, and she said, well, a priest came, and evidently, I think it was Father Jim. Evidently, he brought a basketball or something into the church, and he was talking about, you know, what kids want to do. So I understand. He's very clever. Visuals, and all that. And so he said, who wants to be a basketball player? And a kid raised his hand, so he tossed the ball to the kid. And this woman said, my daughter came home and she said, you can't believe what happened. Wait till Father Anthony gets back. And when he finds out that the father was throwing the ball in the church, it was so funny. So I said, you know, I thought that was so nice. She said she was really, you know, sitting there thinking, I can't believe this is happening in the church. Wait till Father Anthony knows about this.
So, that's funny.
It is funny. That was
that's
great.
That's like remember the Brady Bunch, that one episode?
I hardly ever watched it. Before your time, Christine.
Oh, but I saw the reruns.
So what about it?
No, about the basketball. They had a basketball and they were playing in the house, and mom always told them no.
Mom always said don't play basketball in the house.
Don't play ball in the house, and they threw the ball in it.
Busted a lamp.
No, it was the vase or something. Yeah. It broke the vase. Yeah. So don't play ball in the house.
Right, but of course. So what happened?
Well, they got in trouble.
They tried to cover
they
it up.
They tried to fix the vase, put glue on it, and it started leaking. They had in the middle, my favorite, let's put it in the middle, in the center table as we're eating, and they're like, oh, no, Ma, I want this one. They put it in there, and they're all nervous, watching. And she's like, why is everybody quiet? And they're watching, and it started leaking.
That would be great. We've all been there, though, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Maybe not Geraldine, but I still, you know, that bothers me that the nuns never let you play with the other children.
It was only in 7th and 8th grade when I rang the bell.
It was for their protection.
No, it wasn't.
Well, I wonder about you probably. You never, that never crossed your mind? Or for your protection?
I don't know.
Jerry's looking straight ahead.
He's got that look.
That look.
Well, somebody was protected from somebody, right?
Yes.
So, anyway, I guess this is the way you rang the bell.
I was good.
I could picture Jerry being very well behaved.
Right. And on time.
Hitting somebody with that bell.
See, in our day, we didn't have the manual bells. We had already electricity.
Well, that was a different era.
Right. So, anyway. So, let's read this. I was very, first of all, I'm very impressed by the story of Corrie Ten Boom. Mm-hmm. She was we spoke about her last week. She was arrested by the Nazis along with the rest of her family during the Second World War. They were from Haarlem in Holland, mm-hmm. right? And they hid Jews during the war, and they were caught, and so they were imprisoned, and eventually they were sent to Ravensbrück, a concentration camp. She was sent with her sister. Everybody in the family died, and I didn't realize this. I was reading this morning. Her sister died just days before the liberation, mm-hmm. just days before.
Yeah.
On Corrie Ten Boom was released on December 31st, 1944. But anyway, she speaks about, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but this is in her own words, and I wanted to share it with you because I thought it was a very moving experience. So she would travel widely. She became a missionary, and she would preach about God's forgiveness and the need for reconciliation. And she happened to be, she had gone back to Germany. Well, let me just share it mm-hmm. in her own words. She said, it was a church in Munich that I saw him, a balding, heavyset man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. She says, people were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken. It was 1947. I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with a message that God forgives. Can you imagine Germany in the aftermath of the war, what the people must have been going through?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the face of all those atrocities and wow. So anyway, this was 1947 after the defeat of Germany. So she went back for the first time to speak to the people about God's forgiveness. And she sees this man. And she said, and that's when I saw him working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next, a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. She's describing as they were stripped naked. And just the pile of dresses and the shoes and in the center of the floor. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. And he came up to her and he says, you mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. He says, I was a guard in there. Now, he didn't remember me, she says. So she remembered him. Mm-hmm. He didn't remember her. So he says, you mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. I was a guard in there. And then she said to herself, and she writes, I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition that we forgive those who have injured us. But the guard says, but since that time, he says, I've become a Christian. And I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear from your lips as well, Fräulein. Mm. His hand came out. Will you forgive me? Now, he doesn't know who he's talking to, that mm-hmm. she was actually one of the prisoners. And she said, I stood there. She said, I whose sins had every day to be forgiven, and I could not. She said, I could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply by for the asking? She said it couldn't have been more than many seconds that he stood there, his hand held out. But she said it seemed to me like hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it, she said. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So I stood there with this coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, she said, help me. She prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much, but you're going to have to supply the feeling. Mm. And so she says, woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, she said, an incredible thing took place. She said, the current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then his healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. And she said, I forgive you, brother. She says, I forgive you with all my heart. And she said, for a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. And she said, I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. It's a powerful testimony, mm-hmm. no?
It is. I read that a while back.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The temperature of the heart.
Yes.
Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me. Beautiful. That I can lift my hand. I can lift my hand. I can do that much, but you've got to supply the feeling. It's very interesting, very moving.
Very beautiful.
Her story is so powerful. I say that movie, I saw the movie, and it's just a shame that it's a long movie, I tell you that. But it was one of the best movies I had seen because I was so moved by the story. But it just didn't go anywhere.
What's the name of the movie?
It's called The Hiding Place. It's based on her book.
Hiding Place.
The Hiding Place. If you ever get a chance, you know, if you can get it somewhere, I encourage you to see it. It's just a very powerful movie. But, yeah, forgiveness, you know, it's... Because that's really as we're moving toward Holy Week, toward the Triduum. It's really that's what's at the heart of all this is mercy, forgiveness, you know. And I tell you in the readings these days, it's the tone all of a sudden is changing in the voice of Jesus as he's now. It happens every year at this time, and it just, I don't know about you, but it strikes me, you know, because as I'm reading the gospel, it's yesterday and today, because it's taken from John's gospel, and Jesus is speaking about the Father, and he's coming to the end of his journey, so to speak, and whereas before he's kind of hidden his messianic identity. It's now that he begins to really open that up, and he begins to really speak about the oneness of the Father and the Son, and he's going to eventually, you know, it's going to be in his farewell discourse and his prayer to the Father, you know, that we be one with them, but he's speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes and to those who are gathered around. And even to the disciples and the apostles, but you can begin to hear. I don't explain it. It's a tone. It's the. On one hand, you can begin to fear the. You can begin to feel the fear that's beginning to creep in, and he does speak about that. Jesus wasn't without fear, because he knew this was going to be. He knew what it meant, you know, for him, and he would do it for love of the Father, for love of his Father, and for love of all of us. He came for this purpose, you know, to lay down his life. But you can also hear this longing for the return to the Father, this longing for this return to the Father. But he speaks about And this is from the Old Testament as well as from the New Testament. So we were listening to the prophet Isaiah as well, but this stiff-necked people, I think it was from the prophet Isaiah. Oh, no, it was from the book of Exodus. That was yesterday's reading. But Jesus speaking about this, his frustration that people aren't getting it, they don't understand, that their hearts are hardened, that they're stiff-necked, and he'll even at some point between now and as we get into Holy Week, these are words he'll speak even to the apostles. You know, I'm with you this long, and you still, you don't understand. And so what happens is his, and it happens, isn't it? Doesn't it happen when you're, whenever you're having to die to something, you have to make a transition, whether it's from one city to another, from one assignment to another, from one job to another, when you retire, whatever mm-hmm. it might be. There's always, the hard thing is letting go. Mm-hmm. And then there's a point where you have to let go. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, but if you mm-hmm. don't, you're going to have unrest. But there's a point where you just kind of begin to look, things have changed. Mm-hmm. And now you begin to look forward. Mm-hmm. You begin to anticipate what is coming. And you can sense, you know, when you know people that are going through a major transition in life, and transition is always full of stress. You know, even if it's about getting married, or if it's even getting divorced or mm-hmm. making separate, you know, whatever it might be. But there's a point when you can see that somebody has detached. It's like a detachment. Mm-hmm. They detach, mm-hmm. so they're no longer. It's sure, a change.
It's a change. And this, you have accepted.
Accepted. And you can see that in mm-hmm. Jesus. He's making that. He's in that transitional yeah. period where he's beginning to detach. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not that he was ever attached to the world, but he took on our flesh.
Right.
And he was fully immersed in the life of the people. Mm-hmm. But there's a point where he begins to detach in that sense, mm-hmm. and he begins to, the anticipation of this return to the Father. But to return to the Father, he's got to pass through mm-hmm. the crucible, really, literally speaking,
yes.
a crucifixion and death, suffering. But even apart from the mutilation of his body, it's the taking sin to himself, you know, the dark night. Anyway, so, but you can, we can, we're beginning to hear that in the, mm-hmm. in the Gospels. But one thing he said, and we'll take a break, yesterday in the Gospel, he says, I'm confused. I keep thinking today's Friday. Today's Thursday. So Wednesday, the day before yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday
yes,
was Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He ended the gospel by saying, you know, as he's speaking about this, he says, you know, don't be amazed. He says the hour is coming, in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, will come out. And those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. And he says, I cannot do anything on my own. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. You know? But this is interesting, you know, the resurrection of life for those who have remained with God and do good deeds, because that's a reflection of their union with God, and the resurrection of condemnation for those who have turned away from God and have done wicked deeds. In the frustration that you hear in his voice is that people know, but they refuse. Yeah. And this is what, even as he makes that final journey to Jerusalem, one of the final journeys, as he comes over the hill, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, there's the hills all around it. And he comes over the hill. I imagine him coming over the hill of Olivet. Mm-hmm. And you all of a sudden, you behold the city. And when he saw the city, Jerusalem, the holy city, he got down on his knees and he wept. And he wept. And he says, you know, like, he says, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. He said, like a mother hen, I tried to bring you under my wings, you know, like chicklings. Bring a mother hen, bringing you under my wings, and you refused me. You refused me, and it'll be to your demise, to your demise. And he wept, and he wept. Anyway, it's a very moving story. But we'll take a break. We'll come back, and I want to share with you another. It's related. We'll make it relate to this, okay? Mm-hmm. About the simplicity of Saint Benedict as an answer to America's problems.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener-Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change, invites you to join us in saying the Our Lady of the Shrine Ark of Mercy prayer, which you can find on our website at ststandschurch.org and click on the Adorations tab to Iconic Monstrance. We are saying this prayer for Father Anthony's healing from cancer, but that God's will be done. Our Lady of the Sign, the Ark of Mercy, rush to the aid of your children. Awaken Christendom from slumber. Render the people of God wholly possessed by Jesus, the divine mercy. Guide us to seek sanctuary in the Ark of your Immaculate Heart, alive and at one with the Most Holy Trinity. And draw down upon your children a new Pentecost to renew the face of the earth.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, where you can obtain a plenary indulgence by visiting us during this year of mercy with the usual qualifications. Then, of course, there is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org and enter into the presence of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Yeah, I hope you can really make it a point to be here for these. These are, you know. In these crazy times we're living in, this is exactly what I wanted to talk about, the simplicity of St. Benedict, the answer to America's problems. And this is Father Dwight Longenecker, who writes this and he shares this. It's very, very interesting insight, the points that he makes. Before I mention that, as I mentioned before the break, I was reading from John's Gospel. Jesus, who said, he talked about the resurrection of life for those who remain with God, in friendship with God, and who do good deeds, and the resurrection of condemnation for those who turn away from God and do wicked deeds. And he says, I judge as I hear. My judgment is just, and I'm not seeking to do my will, but the will of the one who sent me. As you think of the Garden of Gethsemane, he is definitive fiat, yes, to the will of the Father. He says, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, thy will be done. I tell you, of all the places in Jerusalem or in the Holy Land, the place I was most moved at in Gethsemane. We had Mass at night in Gethsemane, which was really rare. The place was closed, and they allowed us to come in and have Mass at night. It's just a very moving, even more so than the crucifixion itself. It's just, again, the anticipation, But in any case, I was speaking about this last night at Mass, and afterwards I was speaking to a doctor from India who comes to the Mass, and we were just talking about, life and what's happening. People want to talk about what's going on in the world. They want to know that somebody sees what they see, And he said, it's what's shocking, he comes from India, and he says not to say that in India all is fine, but he comes from a Christian, Catholic, very strong Catholic part of India. But this is also, generally speaking, the case throughout India and much of Asia, to be honest. But he said the respect the children have for their parents and for their grandparents, for the teachers, for the priests. He says, here you come, it's shocking because it's just the opposite. Mm-hmm. The respect isn't there. You don't. Mm-hmm. And he says, but there, he says, here, he says, priests don't talk about the just judgment of God. Everything is comfortable and soft and light, mm-hmm. and we're all good and it's all okay. Mm-hmm. And he says, but there, he says, they speak about God's mercy and God's love, but also about the just judgment of God. And so it's kind of, built into the society. And so there is already, you know, it's just, if we don't have respect for God, you know, do we have respect for our parents, grandparents? It's interesting. Mm-hmm. But the point is that, you know, things have really changed quite dramatically in this nation, you know, over the last several decades. So this priest is writing about the Roman Empire, that by the end of the 5th century, the empire was in ruins. It was weakened from within through corruption, wealth, luxury, self-indulgence. Rome had, for the better part of the century, been invaded by aggressive foreigners. The empire was bankrupt, both both morally and physically. And around the year 500, a Benedict, who was a young nobleman from Norcia, decided the best thing he could do was head for the hills and become a hermit. And so he went to Subiaco and lived in a cave where he was mentored by an older monk. And then finally he moved south to Monte Cassino, where he established small communities where men and women could follow a simple, dignified life of work and study and prayer. And then he quotes G.K. Chesterton, who said that every age, think about this and remember this, every age is saved by a saint that is most unlike it. So St. Benedict's monastic simplicity was the answer to the luxurious corruption of 5th century Rome. St. Benedict answered lechery with purity, lechery with purity. He answered luxury with simplicity. He answered ignorance with the love of learning. He answered decadence with industry and cynicism with faith. His simple hillside communities became beacons in a dark age and a refuge in the storms that were to come. And so what he's suggesting is that his example, the example of St. Benedict, is worth thinking about today, as many sense the same tempest rampaging through what feels like the decline of the American empire. It says, when we consider the end of Rome, the parallels are so, in a very sober way, similar.
Yeah.
So that we too as a culture are weakened from within by incredible wealth, luxury, self-indulgence. Like the ancient Romans, we as a society kill our unborn children at an alarming rate. We spend huge amounts on our military machine to dominate the world. Our wealthy patricians rule over from their temples of power with little concern for the people, while the ordinary people rumble with increasingly angry discontent. We feel threatened by unspeakable barbarians from abroad and worry about defending ourselves from the hordes sweeping across the borders. This is Father Langenecker speaking about this. Why did Benedict choose to simply walk away? Because he realized that the Roman civilization was not redeemable. It had reached the end of its lifespan. The first chapter of St. Paul's epistle to the Romans explains how God gives people over to their sinful desires so their minds become darkened. They become addicted and blinded by sin and can't think straight. St. Benedict headed for the hills because he realized the Romans could not be reasoned with. They couldn't be reasoned with. There was no argument because their hearts and minds were darkened. They had lost the capacity to reason and the ability to hear and love the truth. And is this not increasingly the situation in the United States today? Mm-hmm. For more than 50 years, we as a country have turned our backs on the truth, on beauty and goodness of the Christian faith. We've indulged ourselves in great luxury, given ourselves to great sins of lust, cruelty, and murder. As a society, we have broken marriage, abused children, we've murdered one another, wage war and rob the poor. Our hearts and minds are now darkened, riddled with the intellectual cancer of relativism. We cannot hear reason. make arguments. We are therefore left with these emotions, tempest, tossed by anger, irrational rage, and demonic frustration. So, what can be done? What can be done? We'll take a final break, then we'll come back and we'll answer the question as he would answer it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, don't go. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's, one church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Who am I? What does it mean to love? Why was I created? We'll address all of these great questions and more at Echo Chicago this June. Hello, I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick, Respect Life Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Echo Chicago is a Theology of the Body summer camp for teens and young adults. For the first time ever, the Archdiocese is partnering with Dumox Ministries to present a week of prayer, fun, and immersion in the teachings of St. Pope John Paul II. This exciting camp will take place at Benedictine University in Lisle, June 24th to the 30th. Registration is now open. Go to respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355 for more information. That's respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355. All of us feel an echo in our heart to explore God's original creation and his true purpose for us. Join us in June for Echo Chicago.
Welcome back, everybody. Yeah, I was just reading about that this morning. You know, it's the government just refuses to call it a genocide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is an atrocity in and of itself, you know.
Sure.
And as I was speaking even to this Indian gentleman, the doctor yesterday, a young doctor, there's so much that's going on that we're not aware of. It's not even so much as not being. We just had he mentioned the killing of the nuns,
yes.
Missionaries of Charity.
There were four of them.
Four of them. Yeah.
Yes.
That's why people think we're so smart with all our equipment. We don't really know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do, but we don't. We don't, but somebody does.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Somebody does.
But
and
it will not be spread abroad.
It's just anyway. What can be done? What can be done in this crazy world we live in? Everything's upside down. The suggestion, and I truly agree with this. We can't run away. We could, I guess, but you know, run away to a hermitage or whatever. But no, he says. I think the Benedict option can simply be a realization that we need to return to the essentials of our faith and live out those essentials in our already existing parish communities.
Mm-hmm.
Our parishes can become havens of peace. Centers of culture, education, and reason. They can become places where prayer, work, and study are valued. So without forming new monastic communities, our families and parishes can become domestic monasteries. This is really what we're trying to do here at St. Stan's. We need to reassess our relationship with the surrounding culture. We need to simplify our lives. Do we really need all the material stuff that weighs us down? Puts us into debt and stress.
Mm-hmm.
Do we really need to be running about in such a hectic hurry all the time? Do we really need to conform to the high-paced, achievement-oriented, money-worshipping society in which we live? Do we really need all that entertainment and the distraction that leads to destruction? He says, I think not. Mm-hmm. Instead, the Benedict option will focus on the vows at the heart of Benedict's rule. What is it? Stability, obedience, conversion of life. Stability will help us develop deep roots in our faith. our families and our church. We find security there. We should find security in our faith, in our families, in the church, and not in our work. The security should be in faith, family, and the church. Our money, not in the money, the achievements. Obedience means we will constantly seek to submit to the sacred scriptures, to the teachings of the church, to God, and to one another. And conversion of life means everything we do, everything we say, and every decision we make will be determined by our desire to be completely converted into the image of Christ. Or as Saint Benedict puts in his rule, to prefer nothing but the love of Christ. That's the answer. I believe this.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this. And you hope and pray that there's, because I, again, we're out of time, but people intuitively know things are out of control. And if we don't open up our doors, create sacred space. I was thinking this morning, and we have to come back to this. If I were the Pope, I think I would put the whole church through a novitiate for a year, ban all music from the church except chant, music from chant. Anyway, yes. Leave it at that. There's a lot of other things I did too. So. But a novitiate, you know, and I was going to retreat, you know, in order to know how to be Christians. That means we have to know Christ. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed. Truth left untold, the truth left untold.